Welcome to the Transforming Your Life podcast with Dr. Malika for February the 5th, 2019. I am excited to come back to you. Hopefully, you guys have been keeping up with the podcast. This is episode 4. We also had a special edition episode that came out last Friday that was about racism, whether or not it was a mental illness, and we dealt with that. Today, I felt like it was appropriate, with Valentine's Day being next week, that we talk about love, love addicts. Love is a good thing, and we all know that. That's what we're all seeking. But when is there a problem with how we love? When is there a problem where we are crossing over into the addictive part of dealing with love? And so that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. Is love addicts. So stay tuned, and we are going to get into it in just a minute. Happy Wellness Wednesday, everyone. I know that this is a little bit different because normally the shows air on Tuesdays, but I wanted for Mental Health Month for us to do it, have it coincide with Wellness Wednesday. So this month, you will be getting your episodes a day later than what you're used to, but we're still here, same place, same host, still trying to talk about things that are going to help you transform yourself to live your best life as your best version of yourself. And so for those who don't know, I do have a new book that is released. You can purchase it on my website, and the title of the book is Free Indeed. It is a 30-day guide to help you on the journey to forgiveness. So I wanted to start off this month's pod episodes with talking about forgiveness and really understanding the psychology of it. So just to give a little background as to why I chose this topic to write about, I was dealing with clients about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years. And I noticed that their lack of forgiveness for a person was impacting their day-to-day functioning. Now, they couldn't see the connection between the two, but I was able to pick up on it. And so I started doing research into understanding. Obviously, from a treatment perspective, I wanted to find models that could possibly help me with their issues of unforgiveness. And I came across a model by Robert Enright, which is a forgiveness model that is used to help people forgive what we would consider the most heinous acts to the most mundane things. And as I looked at that, I realized that this was something that I wanted to get out to the masses in a way that was made down in a layman's term to make it practical to be applied. And so that was the birthing of the book. And it just released the end of last month, right in time for Mental Health Month of 2021. So shameless plug, you can go out and purchase that on my website, malikambrown.com, MALAIKA/store. And then you can purchase that as well as the journal that comes with it, that comes either the paperback or the paperback with the journal set. So that's the plug on that. But I wanted to really get into forgiveness because I feel like this is one of those things that even before I started researching it for the purposes of helping clients and work on the book, that I thought I had a good understanding of it. And it's a very loaded term. It's one of those things that we throw out. We throw this word out. And a lot of times we throw it out from a more moral or religious standpoint. We talk about, you know, the Bible talks about us forgiving others, the 70 times 7, and all the different scriptures in the Bible that talk about forgiveness. But we often don't look at forgiveness from a scientific standpoint. And when I say scientific, I mean from a social science standpoint. And what that can do to impact our lives. So in the book, I do this. I start with what forgiveness is and what it's not. And so I'll even start with this episode by saying that what forgiveness is not is it doesn't mean that you're, becoming best friends with the person that has offended you. It doesn't even mean that the relationship has to be reconciled. It's basically not saying, oh, what you did was okay. I'm forgiving you because it wasn't that bad, or I'm accepting the fact that you wronged me. It's not saying any of those things. What forgiveness is you choosing to accept that what has happened, and that you can't change that. But what you can do is you can let it go and you can move forward. What moving forward looks like depends on the situation, the circumstances, and the person that is the other person that is involved. It may mean that you have to have a relationship with that person from a distance. It may mean that you go into your present without having a relationship with that person at all, but you have let go of what was done to you. And it's really important to know what forgiveness is not. We often like to equate forgiveness with things like reconciliation of the relationship. Forgiveness is often equated with accepting or endorsing what they did, or making it seem as what they did was okay. That is not what forgiveness is. And so I think that a lot of times the unforgiveness that people hold on to is because they don't want to seem as if they are endorsing or making it seem like what the person did was okay. And so I think that when you understand that foundational point, it makes it a lot easier for you to let stuff go. And I'm going to just tell you right now, I know some people that have been holding on to some stuff that they hold on to it so tight, they don't realize how it's damaging them more than it's damaging the person that they choose to not forgive. They think that they're living when they really are not, because they're held captive in that prison of unforgiveness that they basically have built for themselves. And it's really important to know that you're going to be the one that's going to suffer more than the other person when it comes to situations of forgiving someone who has offended you. So that's my little intro spiel for this particular episode. When I come back, we're going to talk about several things. We're going to talk about basically the impact that unforgiveness can have on you from a relational standpoint. We're going to talk about how it can impact you from a personal perspective. And we're also going to talk about how it can impact you from a physical perspective, because I also like to put that part in there, because the connection between our psychology or our psyche and our physical body is really important. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a second. And we're back, and we are talking about the prison of unforgiveness. That is the title that I gave this episode. And so, before we went to break, I talked about the fact that we were going to discuss how unforgiveness can impact your relationships, you personally, and then your physical well-being. And so we are going to talk about all of those in the next two segments. And I wanted to start off with relationships, because I feel like this is probably the obvious place to start. One of the things we have to understand is that all relationships, romantic or otherwise, forgiveness is a cornerstone of those relationships, because we are interacting with other human beings and we are going to have situations that are not positive. There are going to be experiences that are going to be negative, and you have to be able to navigate around those if you plan to stay in relationship with that person. And so, one of the things that I think is often overlooked, or often, I don't want to say not understood, but often not grasped, I guess that's the better way to say it, is that we only can live life through our perception, meaning that people don't see life the way we see it, because they haven't lived and walked in our bodies and had our life experiences. So There are so many different perceptions of the world because there are all these millions of people, billions of people that have experienced life only through their eyes and their experiences. If we lack the understanding of other people's perceptions and perspectives, that will create gaps in our communication. That miscommunication can lead to anger, it can lead to animosity, it can also lead to emotional disconnection. That in a relationship will often cause gaps, and when forgiveness is not at play, that is going to make those gaps bigger. So we can all intellectualize forgiveness as much as we want, but it's a process. There's action there that we have to take. And when the betrayal or when the offense is egregious or it's something that is so monumental that you can't just like glaze over it or gloss over it, that is when you really have to put your forgiveness skills to work. And the first thing I always tell people is it's okay to feel what you feel. The hurt, the pain, the betrayal, the anger, all of that is fine. But what are you going to do with those feelings? A lot of times when it happens, the first thing you feel is shock because you can't believe that this has been done to you. And then you may have anger, you may have hurt over that. The best thing to do is to deal with your feelings, deal with how you feel. And when you do that, you're going through the process. You often talk about people hearing this, the saying, respect the process. And I do believe in that. You do have to respect the process because with forgiveness, the process begins with you acknowledging what has happened to you and how you feel about that. And that may not be an overnight thing. You may not be able to come to that place overnight. And so you have to go through what that journey is going to be before you can get to a place to even consider forgiveness as an option. Just by simply exploring the situation, acknowledging how it impacted you and how you feel, and the reasons why you feel those feelings behind the betrayal or the offense can be the foundational building blocks to you actually forgiving the person for what they have done. Now, I say this in the book, not to just keep dropping this, but you really should get the book to really get more in-depth information about it. But there are some things that we can forgive easily. There are some things that it doesn't take a lot of time and a lot of contemplation and a lot of rehearsing of what has happened in order to forgive them. And so it's easier for us to let go of that anger and resentment and the weight that comes with carrying that anger and resentment. But when it's something really, really bad, really, really hurtful, really impactful, there are things that you need to go through in yourself before you can even let go of what was done to you. And so that may be the place you're in, depending on what it was that was done to you. But I guarantee you have to go through this process. You're not helping yourself at all by holding on to this stuff. And I want you to hear me clearly about this. It's really important that you understand you're not impacting the other person by holding on onto anger and resentment and hurt for what was done to you. You're only really hurting yourself. And so, while there are a lot of definitions and there are a lot of varieties on how forgiveness looks, there's three components that you have to understand that are important to you forgiving, especially when we're talking about relationships. It's gaining a balanced view of the offender and the event, which I talk about in the book. It's decreasing your negative feelings towards the offender and potentially increasing the compassion. And the compassion has to be there. You have to start seeing the other person as a human being and actually having compassion for them. And it's giving up your right to punish the offender and to demand restitution because restitution may never come. There are some things that you may not be able to actually get restitution for. So you have to be okay with those things. The research has basically showed that one of the roadblocks to people forgiving in relationships is they don't want to look weak they don't want to make it seem as like what the offender did was excusable. But I want you to reevaluate that. Look at it differently. It shows strength when you're able to forgive a person, especially when they've done things to you that are really, really bad. It's easy to stay angry and bitter. Easy to stay that way. It doesn't require a whole lot of emotional intelligence on your part to stay angry and bitter at a person for doing something to you and offending you. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of strength, and it takes a lot of character for you to forgive a person. So forgiveness is not weakness, it is powerful. And that is something that you should be willing to give to yourself, empower yourself to be bigger than those low-level emotions that we often go to when we're in places of hurt. Be powerful. So if you don't get anything from what I'm saying to you today, get the fact that you forgiving a person is you putting yourself in a position to be powerful. So let's talk about the impact that unforgiveness can have on you from a emotional health standpoint, the personal impact, and then we'll get into the physical after that. Psychologically, people who have a higher level of forgiveness, who tend to find better ways to forgive others no matter what the offense is, have found that they have a decreased issues of depression, anxiety, and even anger levels. They're not dealing with all of these negative energies inside of them that they're holding on to. They even found that in couples where there was betrayal, wherever there was greater levels of forgiveness, they found that those relationships had actual stronger building blocks. They parented better, they functioned better as an individual in the relationships, and they also felt better. And so there is a direct connection between you forgiving people and your personal psychological and emotional well-being. And I don't want you to just gloss over that because I really feel like that is so, so important, because if you don't do that, you're really only harming yourself because the other person is not feeling the impact psychologically that you are feeling because of what was done to you. They may be dealing with their own stuff. They may not be dealing with anything connected to the situation, but we know for sure that you're not punishing them by holding on to your unforgiveness. So it's really important to connect that you will have better psychological and emotional health, and you will have healthier habits if you are willing to forgive people and not hold on to that unforgiveness. So I want to take one more break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the physical and the physiological impact of unforgiveness, and then also talk about boundary setting, because I feel like boundary setting is really important in situations when we're talking about forgiveness. Thank you for listening to the Transform Your Podcast, Transform Your Life podcast. We'll be back in just a second. And we're back for our final segment, and I wanted us to talk about the physiological impact of unforgiveness, and then I also want to talk about boundaries because I feel like we can't get out here without talking about boundaries, because boundaries are really important, even in life in general, but also when we're talking about forgiving people. So, physiologically, one of the things that we have found, based on research that has been conducted, is that higher levels of forgiveness have been associated with lower white blood cell counts and hematocrit levels. So, let's just talk about the white blood cells. Your white blood cells are integral in you being able to fight off diseases and infections. So when you are forgiving people, when you have higher levels of forgiving, your body has the ability to fight off, and it's stronger in fighting off diseases and infections. And then combining that with the other things that are happening in your body, it allows you to also have better functioning because you're not stressed, so your blood pressure is at better levels, and it also allows you to reduce anxiety, and the anxiety can also have an impact on your autonomic system, which means you're in heightened a state of alert, which is not good because that impacts a lot of your internal organs. So just the simple fact that you forgive people, you have a higher level of forgiveness, allows you to get to a place physically where you are actually functioning at a healthier level than people often give credit to. And then connecting those results from a physical level, and it shows you how important forgiveness is. It allows you to know that your mind, which we already talked about, the psychological impact, and your body working together are now working in a more positive and healthy space. And I'm all about holistic, being healthy all the way around. So not just being healthy in body, meaning that you work out and you're taking care of yourself because you're eating right, but your insides are tore up. And when I mean insides, I mean your mind. Your mind is messed up. You have distorted thought processes. You're holding on to unforgiveness. You're angry. Like all this stuff is happening inside of you, and your body will still feel that. So no matter how much you work out, no matter how much you eat right, if you don't deal with your stuff, your issues, your problems, you will not be healthy. Point blank and period. That's all I have to say on that. And you can try to dispute that if you want to, but many of people have actually died from their inability to release stress, their inability to forgive, because it has eaten away at them over time. So it is really important from a physical standpoint that you learn how to forgive people, because what are you really gaining by holding on to this unforgiveness? Why? What is it there that you're holding on to that is going to make your life better? That is one of the questions I often ask clients in sessions. How is this going to make your life better by doing this, this, or this? How does that improve your life? If someone says this about you, what does that do to your life? How does that make it better? And if it doesn't, then you should probably be doing something different. And I know I went off on one of my tirades, my rants, and I have that sometimes because I have these moments where I'm really passionate about us just being better human beings and being better versions of ourselves. And I feel like sometimes we hold on to junk that we don't need to hold on to. So just know that holding on to that stuff, you could be doing all this other stuff in your life that seems to be healthy, but if you are not forgiving people, which impacts your psychological as well as your physical well-being, you are not healthy, period. So let's get into boundaries. I want to close out with this because I feel like boundaries are very important, that you have these in all areas of your life, whether it be professional, whether it be personal. You have to have boundary. It's really, really important. So one of the questions I often get is, how do I begin that process of forgiveness? And I feel like listening to this podcast, getting my book, doing the work is really how you begin the process. What you will start to learn as you're starting the process is that you have to have boundaries, not only for yourself, but also for others, in order to navigate the forgiveness process. Let's just deal with you, because the boundaries that you set for yourself are really important. The biggest aspect that you're going to deal with when you're talking about betrayals that you have on your life is the boundaries that you now have to set when it comes to your interaction with that person and other people who may do things similar to what they have done. So, first of all, forgiveness means that you're not staying in that anger. You're getting away from that. But as you get away from that anger, you still need to evaluate the situation and make sure that going forward, it is going to be healthy for you. So you have to say to yourself, this is what I'm willing to accept, and this is a hard line. And these are things that I will not accept from you going forward if you choose to remain in a relationship with the person, or if you forgive the person and decide that reconciliation of the relationship is not going to happen because that, again, is a boundary for you. It's not going to be healthy for you to remain in a relationship with this person. So you have to determine what will work for you on a case-by-case basis. Don't have an all-or-nothing approach to this to say, oh, yeah, I forgave you, but I'm not going to deal with you anymore, because that is not really evaluating each situation on its own merits. Everything is nuanced. So you have to make sure that you are actually looking at each situation, the person involved, what happened, to determine what boundaries need to be set. And one of the ways you can do that is understanding the factors that contributed to the betrayal in the first place. And I talk about this in the book. Understanding that person's journey, how they got to where they were to do what they did towards you, is an important part of the process, because you may realize that they will never change. Like, this is who they are now wired to be because of their life's experiences, and you may decide that that is not healthy for you to deal with, and that is okay. And don't let anyone make you feel bad if that's the choice you have to make for that particular situation. But you need to set whatever boundaries are going to be in place and understand what it's going to be. There may be situations where the person is no longer alive for you to even get the reconciliation or even approach. I'll get rid of the reconciliation. May not even be alive for you to deal with the forgiveness journey with that particular person. So you may have to resort to things that I've often done with my clients, writing letters to that person to do the forgiveness work. You may have to do that, because this again is about you freeing yourself from the prison that you self-imposed on yourself by not forgiving people. It's really, really important. And that letter writing may be the thing that is the key that opens up your ability to be released from that jail. And so I can't stress that enough, how important that really is. And the last thing I want you to understand before we get out of here is that this is a process. Please hear me. It's a process. Yes, my book is a 30-day guide, but I say in the book that you may be in that book or on that journey or on a particular day's activities or exercises for a week, for a month. It depends. It's a journey. It will take time, and it's not an immediate process to forgive someone. You may not even think that forgiving is a good idea. And it may take a while for you to even get to the place where you've realized that this is the best option for you. So just know that it is a process. Do not put a clock on yourself. Do not make yourself feel like you have to be done with this process by a particular time or a particular point in life or something of that nature. It is the journey, and you have to be able to go on that journey at the pace that is necessary for you. In the book, I do this. Every section and every day opens up with a quote. And so I want to leave you with a quote. And this is a quote from Oprah Winfrey. She says, "Forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different." I cannot stress enough that the past cannot be changed. And when we hold on to unforgiveness, it is a little bit of you holding on to hope that your anger, your emotions connected to that situation can somehow magically change what happened in the past. It can't. So you have to let it go. So think about in your life people that you need to forgive. Think about in your life situations where you need to forgive yourself, and be free indeed in mind, body, and soul. That's really important. As I always say at the end of episodes, make sure that you are good to yourself and that you're good to others. And I want to make sure that you are taking care of not only the outside of you, but the inside. Make that a focus for this month of May, which is Mental Health Month. And again, I will stress, you can get my book. You can find it on malikaembrown.com/store and use this as a month to jumpstart you making your mental health a priority. Thank you for joining us on the Transforming Your Life podcast with Dr. Malika. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Transforming Pod. And you can also follow Dr. Malika's personal social media accounts at Dr. Malaika Speaks, MALAIKA. As always, we want you to like and subscribe the podcast. You can find it on Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere that podcasts can be found. As she always says, take care of yourself and take care of others. Have a great rest of your week.